Here we are, 1 o'clock, so we will begin promptly. This is Super Tathis for Parshas Balak. This should be an Eschus Refuah Shleima for Moshe ben Rachel Mina and Eliana Malka Basya Rachel, and I will begin with stories. The first story is about the Chavetz Chaim, who Baruch Hashem was Zocha to Arichus Yomam. He lived a long life. And as Derech HaTeva goes, naturally people, when they get older, it's harder and harder to deprive themselves of sleep and to deal with cold, and their body is more mature, and the net effect is it's harder to get up in the morning. So as the story goes, the Chafetz Chaim woke up one morning, and all of a sudden, all of these thoughts start going in your head. Well, it's very cold out in Radin, you're old, you really have to sleep later and take care of yourself. You know, you'll be able to learn all your learning and, you know, later in the day. All the thoughts that typically many of us may feel when we get up in the morning. And the Chafetz Chaim stopped in his tracks and he said, oh, I can see that the Yetzer Hara is already up for the day. Kal vachomer, even more so, if the Yetzer Hara is already waking up and getting to work, I should get up and get to work. And this is reminiscent of like the concept that's brought forth in the Shulchan Aruch that says, Yizgabir Shka'ari, a person should get up like a lion. And the Prima Godim there explains that, why does it say that we should get up like a lion specifically? It's because a lion is the king of the jungle, as they say. And the king of the jungle is not afraid of any other creature, is not afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's nature. So too, this idea of getting up, jumping up in the morning to go serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is saying, I'm not afraid of my nature. I know the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees what my intent is, and Be'ezras Hashem will give us the Siyata Dishmaya, the heavenly assistance, to be able to proceed with our lives. It just was pointed out to a kuntris written on the value of Vasikin, davening your Shmona Esrei right as the sun rises, with Kriya Shema immediately before. And this Sefer speaks the praise. It says it really sets the tone of the day. It says that people who get up and daven Vasikin, this is really the way to express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're an Eved Hashem, and you are hoping to be able to go even beyond your nature. And this is also brought up in the Parsha, where we say, Am Kalavi Yakum, this nation gets up like a lion. So that's all on that same point. And the Chafetz Chaim had that struggle at least once. He said a Kal Vachomer, we can too. Next story. The next story comes from Rabbi Yeruchim Lovavitz, and it happened in the context of a Chavrusa that I had on the last Shabbos. Last Shabbos, as I do on normal Shabbos, is I actually skip Kiddush where I daven, and I sit with Chavrusa, and one of us often begins the Chavrusa with saying, well, now it's time for breakfast. And apropos of that comment, after Kiddush was complete and we were still sitting and learning Baruch Hashem, one of the men who was in the Kiddush came up to us and said, I don't understand you guys. I really don't understand, you know, how could it be, you know, here you've been up for so many hours and you're not hungry, you haven't stopped for breakfast. So upon hearing that, I mentioned the following story. The story came from Rav Yeruchim Lovavitz, and he was traveling for whatever reason, and his travels were long, and he needed to stop for the night somewhere, and he found an appropriate place to stop. And they put him up, Baruch Hashem, in a very big area. I don't know if it was a barn or a big, like, town room or something like that. But they put him up, and they set him up very nicely, and everything was just fine until about the time for the middle of the night, and he's, sleeping comfortably. All of a sudden, he starts hearing some ruckus, then he sees some light, and, he looks over, there's a little bit of noise, he hears kind of tables and chairs, and all of a sudden it sounds like somebody's, you know, setting a table, and then all of a sudden he starts smelling things, and it becomes apparent to him that here it is, it's the middle of the night, and somebody's setting up for like a Suda Shal Shlomo Melech, a very, very big, meal, and not just a meal for like one person or two people, but it looks like a big meal for everybody. So he's completely dumbfounded and a little bit blindsided by what's happening, and he's scratching his head. Eventually he said, excuse me, what's happening here? And they looked at him like he was an alien from another planet. They said, I don't understand. They said, well,
why are you setting up for a suda now? It's the middle of the night. Everybody should be sleeping. And they looked at him and said, how could you go so many hours without having food? You could starve. And at this point, the Rabbi Yochanan stopped narrating the story and he said, look what Hergel can do to people. Whatever people are accustomed to, that's what they're used to. And this is what he uses, as the Gra says, he quotes in his famous Igeres to his wife, Hergel Okol Davar Shulton. Whatever you're used to really will cover, will kind of carry the day. And he said, look, I mean, how do you know that people, whatever people are used to, is really the most, you know, kind of the most guiding principle? He says, look, if you see, normally 6 days a week, people's stomachs will rumble, you know, around their normal breakfast time. But on Shabbos Kodesh, when many people daven later, and, you know, many people don't eat until many hours later in the day than they normally would, it's clear they don't have the same sort of hunger at the normal time. But instead, their hunger will come, and it may come redoubled, along with the Neshama Yisera, around the time for Kiddush, because that's what they're used to. And obviously, your hunger doesn't fully happen biologically 6 days a week versus the other ones. It must be, it's just what, you know, whatever you're used to. So this is a charge for all of us, on the one hand, to note how dangerous it is to get involved, getting used to things which are not in the derech that we want, and how important it is to get used to things early. And that's the idea of chinuch. Chinuch is getting, one of the elements of it is familiarity, getting children used to doing mitzvahs. And I think that that's a very good chizuk for all of us as we're trying to infuse our family with Torah and proper hashkafa. Next, we have a story about the Chazon Ish. He was asked at one point in time about how he got to be the Chazon Ish, how he was Zocha when he was at answering some questions at Yeshivas Tiferes Tzion. And his answer was in the Zechus of Kibbutz Av HaEm. And the backstory is that he obviously had extraordinary value for his time and specifically would put every free moment he could into Limud Torah and mitzvos. But when it came to his mother, it sounded like it all the time in the world. She wanted to talk to him, he would talk to her. If she, you know, needed his attention, he would give her attention, and so on and so forth. And he said that that was the big schluss. And it's important to mention, it has occasionally happened that come the time that a super tati sits down at a Shabbos meal, the super mommy behind all of the scenes is probably a little bit tired and sometimes a little bit spent, you know, by that time. And it's important to note in one point, like how important it is for us to be mechabed, you know, all the mommies of the family. But moreover, it's also important to maybe impress upon our children, not only by leading by example, but to say, hey, look, you know, this was the Chazon Ish's special trick to becoming who he was. Not only is this something that you should do because you want to do it, but you should do it because it will provide you, it can provide you with a great benefit. Next on to Divrei Torah, the Jewish people become nitzmodim lebaal peor, they become infatuated, as it were, with the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry of Baal Peor, and it had a strange and bizarre practice in that a person would expel human waste in front of this idol, and that was its avoda, which is extraordinarily strange and counterintuitive that would be something that would be attractive to anyone. Rav Yehuda Amital, who just had his yurtzeit, suggested that this was none other than the cult of the natural. When Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a inclination or impulse, there is a logical fallacy to assume that that in and of itself is good, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is all good and everything he creates is good. But fundamentally, if it's left alone, it's not something that's supposed to be celebrated. It's supposed to be something that's elevated. And he points to the approach that's adopted by the Sefer Chinuch and others with respect to a bris milah. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Jewish males to be born with a bris milah, it would have been easy for him to do it. But instead, the Ribbono Shel Olam said that 8 days into the life of a healthy Jewish boy, a bris milah operation is supposed to be done to fix, augment, and improve and elevate the body of every Jewish male boy. So if this was a electronic or something else, we would look for the warranty. And we would say, why would you give me something that needs a tune-up shortly thereafter? But there's a hashkafa here that with respect to Yiddishkeit, the idea is, if we leave ourselves in our natural states, then we're insufficient. We're no better in the world that we were in. And in the world of the Gra would say, "Im kein lama lo chayim," why would you be existing if you weren't in the process of improving, elevating, and lifting up? And that was the allure. This logical fallacy was the allure of Baal Peor, and it sometimes sneaks into people's thoughts today, and we need to just remember that our job is to elevate and sanctify. Next is a chidah, which I heard a chavrusa say in a speech, but I'm not quite sure in his name. It's a halacha, which is very interesting, is there's a distinction. The Gemara tells us that women get schar, they get reward for basically sending out their children to go learn. And they also, we know that they get for their husband as well, but the tsura, what needs to happen for them to get reward and for their husband to get reward is very, very different. And I thought this was an important distinction. When a husband goes out to learn, their job is to learn well and learn as best as they can. And if they don't, then they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah in its entirety. And the same thing with children. They have a job. You know, they have to show up. They have to show up and make things work as best as possible to grow into the Talmidei Chachamim and the Tzaddikim, and that is results-based. But if a woman sends her husband to the Beis Medrash, he falls asleep, or he gets a during Chavrusa, or you know, he gets a flat tire or something else like that, or a child goes to school and they just have a really difficult day or something like that, the woman gets full reward, regardless of the results, so long as she encourages them. So I think that, you know, it happens often that on a Shabbos, you know, a mother is just trying to keep things together on, you know, a Shabbos afternoon, but yet she may, you know, muster up the courage to send out her children to, you know, go learn Avos Ubanim, or, you know, sit with the father and get the extra special Ruchnius attention, or whatever it is. I remember my wife, when I was in the Rabbanis, once sent me out to Shalosh Shittos, manning several, you know, young children at the time. She said, "You do what you need to do, I will just try to survive." And that happens often. So it is a wonderful chizik to give to our wives that regardless of whatever happens, they get full reward. And also it is incumbent upon us that if we have the wonderful merit of a wife who is manning the ship, as it were, that we need to do our very best to perform. Next is a comment from the Altar of Kelm. Bilam says, you know, whatever happens, I can't go against Hashem. And that sounds extraordinarily frum. So the question is asked, how is he different from the Avos? And the Altar of Kelm says, it's very, very simple. The difference between him and the Avos is that he understood he couldn't go against Hashem, but he didn't change his ratzon. Everything follows your intent. We have this concept, ha-kol holeich achar ratzon, and the Gra says, ha-ratzon arishon. Really, if you get deep down to bad ratzonos, you know, it can poison just about anything. That's what happened to Bilam. Bilam was wise. He was a prophet. He had everything else. But so long as he thought that whatever he wanted was more important, he never really got to any dargos, and that is the opposite of the Avos. The Avos had complete hispatlus. They completely would nullify themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam's will. Last one is another Altar of Kelm based on the Gemara in Nazir, where it said, "Le'olam yasok adam b'tera mitzvah shelo lishma, shemitok lishma ba lishma." A person should always do things for the less than perfect intention for their sake, because eventually, because you did it not for its sake, eventually you will get to its sake. And it's the proof that it brings is from Bilam, who built 42 different mizbechos, altars, and because of that, he was meriting to have Rus HaMoaviyah come from his family. So the Altar of Kelm says, if you look at the Gemara, what it says, Mitok Shelo Lishma. He says that this is a necessary condition. It must be that you are intending that when you do something, Shelo Lishma, you are hoping to get to Lishma. However, if you are not intending to get to Lishma, then perhaps it would not work. I remember a story when I was starting a program that would give me an honorific. At the end of the program, I turned to my posek and I said, Rebbe, I'm not sure this is 100% Lishma. And his response to me was, yes, it's not 100% Lishma, like my Daf Yomi isn't 100% Lishma. But you should go forward anyway. And if you're interested in learning more about this, you can look in the Evan Shlema, which gives four different levels of Lishma, one which is Pusel and the other three which are on different gradients. Also, the Malas HaTorah quotes the Gruh to understand this in the way that the Altar of Kelm did. But it does leave us with our thinking question. Bilam is the proof for Mitoch Shelo Lishma. And the Altar of Kelm is saying that it needs to be with the hopes that you will go to a higher level of Lishma. Do we see that in Bilam? And if so, where? And if not, how would we answer up for the Altar of Kelm? Thank you all for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.